Oh, I wanted to share a little story about a boy. He was at school, and it was thundering and lightning out, and the mother became concerned that the little boy would become frightened from the lightning. So she went to school, and she found him smiling at the sky every time the lightning bolt came down, and she was a little bit surprised, and she said, "Son, why are you smiling?" And he said, "God is taking my picture, and I need to look good." You know, kids have a way of just keeping it simple, don't they? So anyway, thank you, Georgine, for that one. So, all right. We're in a series titled Win the Day, and today is the final message in it. We're talking about 7 habits to help you stress less and accomplish more. And I hope that over the past few weeks, you've picked up a few insights of how you can win the day today, this moment, habits that will position us in a better place to enjoy life, to become a better version of who we are. So that's been our purpose and focus. And I want to begin by telling a story this morning. The fellow's name is Dennis Wheatley. And this goes back to the year of 1979, May 25th. Dennis Wheatley. He was desperately trying to catch a flight from Chicago to L.A. He had a speaking engagement there. But he was running late, and he got to the jetway, and the door had already been closed. He begged the people to let him on. And they said, "No, the rules are when the door is closed, the door is closed." Well, he was very upset. And he began to make his way to the ticket counter so he could register a complaint. It took him a while, and then he heard a broadcast over the intercom that said, AA flight, American Airlines flight 191 to Los Angeles had crashed upon takeoff. That was the flight he was supposed to be on. The engine on the left wing of this aircraft, a DC-10, separated from the airplane right after takeoff. The unbalanced aerodynamics caused the plane to roll. It could not recover. All 258 passengers died. It was the deadliest aviation accident in U.S. history. Well, needless to say, Dennis Wheatley did not register his complaint that day. But here's what he did. He took his plane ticket and he put it in a visible place in his office. And when he was having a bad day or life just didn't seem fair, he would look at that ticket. And he would realize that every day is a gift. And you never know when it might be the last day. You see, what Dennis Wheatley was doing, he had a life symbol. That when he looked at that symbol, here's what it did. It was something in his past that gave meaning to the present, and it functioned as a compass for the future. It was a ticket which represented something. It was a life symbol. And today I want to talk about life symbols. We all have them. And we're gonna work through some scriptures and some examples of a life symbol. But if you have your notes, here's the basic definition. A life symbol is something from your past that gives you meaning to the present and functions as a compass for the future. In other words, you and I have them all over the house. We have them in the memory bank of our lives, and there's these life symbols. I want to give you some examples. When God called Abram to go to Canaan, you know, he said, "I need to do this. It was his calling, God's calling in my life." You know what he did? He went out and built an altar. I don't know what the altar looked like. Maybe it was stone, and it was just representing when God spoke to him. Abraham developed a habit. Whenever he had a life-defining experience, he'd built an altar. Here's another one. When the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, You know, the water split and they crossed on dry ground. And here's what the instruction was. Pick up 12 stones, Moses, tell the people, and from the middle of the riverbed, take them to the other side and build a memorial so that when people say, what's that all about? You tell them how God was faithful when you crossed the Jordan River. Third example, David, when he killed Goliath, the big giant, 9 feet, 6 inches tall, you know what he did? He got Goliath's armor. I mean, Goliath was a huge guy. David, maybe late teenager years. And so we find that he took his armor. And you know what he did with it? He put it in his tent. Now, why would a kid whose armor, Goliath's armor would not fit him, he really couldn't use it. But here's what it was. It was a life symbol. And when he looked at that life symbol, he saw something, hey, God help me do this. It will always represent a defining moment in my life. John D. Rockefeller, we've talked about him in the past few weeks, probably one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest man ever in America, made billions, and this is years ago, in its net worth today. But he started work at 50 cents a day. The day was September 26th. He's the guy that wanted to make $100,000 in his lifetime. And he wanted to live to 100, and I think he only lived into his 90s, but he made well over 100,000. He made it into the millions. But here's what he did. He took September 26th as a personal holiday. And that day became a life symbol. He called it Job Day. You know why? He said that day represented the day that everything else just kind of hinged on. It's when he started working. It was a life symbol, September 26th. You have them in your life. I've got them in mine. And today I want to focus on these life symbols that are deeply meaningful to us. Now, we've studied 7 habits over the past few weeks, and here's what I want to do. I'm going to take each habit, and I'm going to give you an example or examples of a life symbol. Now, the reason I want to do this is I want you to develop and make sure you have your own list or treasure chest of life symbols. It takes some effort to think about them and arrange them in your heart, maybe even write them down. And you develop this whole treasure chest, this backpack full of life symbols. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through all 7 habits. I want to give you an example in each of those habits. Number one, in your notes, flip the script. If you want to change your story, change your life, start by changing your story. So we talked about how God wants to flip the script in your life. Symbol number one, it can be a spiritual experience. If you're looking for defining moments in your life, one of the most anchored types of experiences is when you have a spiritual experience with God Himself. Here's a picture of Saul. Now, in Acts chapter 9, it's the story about how Christ met him on the road to Damascus. And let's read these verses together in your notes. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." In the preceding verses, it says that Saul was breathing out murderous threats. This was a very mean guy. He didn't have any interest in God, of serving him. And Jesus met him on the road. A bright light shone from heaven. Here's what it was. It became a turning point in his life, a spiritual experience. And all of a sudden, this guy, Paul, became a different guy. He wrote most of the New Testament. If you want to find hope about your life, if your past is very sordid and difficult and, maybe embarrassing, let me tell you, Saul had a very, very, very poor track record. He had a bad reputation. He was a wicked guy, even consenting to kill people. grace was extended to him. It was a defining moment. And listen, it changed his script going forward. I've shared my story before. August of 72, I was about 16 years of age, lived in Iowa, went to a spiritual camp, an athletic camp, St. Olaf College, Northfield, Minnesota. It was less than about 4 or 5 days long, and chalk artists on the platform, drawing the death and resurrection of Christ. I'm a kid. I'm standing in a group of maybe 400 or 500 kids. We're singing How Great Thou Art, and something changed inside me. I didn't know what it was. I knew when I left the building something was different. I didn't know what it was, but it was my turning point, my spiritual experience. When I think of flipping the script, that was a beginning for me. You have the same thing. When you can look back at a time in your life, a spiritual experience in which you allowed Christ to come into your life, and everybody's different. Everybody has a different kind of story. That's okay. The key is it becomes a life symbol. And so the dates for me, August of 72, and I'm not sure of the exact date, I just know the month, though that's like a life symbol to me. So when you think about flipping the script in your life, I want you to think about your spiritual experiences. How did it start, or how did it happen to you? Something was changed inside you, and your story was changed going forward. All right, number two, we talked about kissing the wave. And we learned that the obstacle is not the enemy, the obstacle is the way. And here's what this is saying. The painful things in life, we just want to push them away. But God wants to use the pain that will drive us to the throne of grace so that we can find something new about his love and mercy toward us. So the obstacle is the way forward. But here's the principle. It can be a painful time in your life that becomes a life symbol. A few weeks ago, Shane and Tanya told their story. It was a very painful time in their life, and it covered a period of years, but with the head trauma over that happened, I think, this last fall, I mean, that was a huge thing. We wondered if he's even going to be okay or even live. But God will take the painful experiences of our lives, and he somehow, some way, if we're open to his teaching, will somehow bring a new life lesson through it, and it can be a turning point in our lives. Read with me Romans 8:28 in your notes. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Years ago, while in Florida, I knew a guy by the name of Lee Horton. He worked for Sears. He was an executive. This would have been in the 90s. And as I got to know this guy, and he was on the board of the agency I worked at, you get to learn a little bit more about his life. He and his wife, I don't know, they had 3 or 4 kids. I can't exactly remember. But he shared this about his life story. They had a daughter. She may have been 6 or 7. I don't know the exact age. But years earlier, she had died. She got sick, and she died. And he talked about the heartache of walking through that. And then he made this comment. I don't think I'll ever forget it. He's looking back on it. This is years later. And he says, you know what? We realize that if we could make it through that, we could make it through anything. It was a life symbol of pain. Every life symbol isn't always the mountaintop glory experience. It can be something in the valley that's very painful. But you know what it is? It's a defining moment in which God can take something bad and use it for good. And this guy said, you know what? We know that if we could make it through that, the death of our child, we can make it through anything. You see, you have life symbols like that too. Maybe it's the loss of a family member to you, and it's been the most difficult thing you've been through. But listen, when you view it in such a way and allow God to work through it and use it for good, it becomes an anchor place and defining moment in your life. And when we kiss the wave, we're saying, God, I don't understand it, but teach me through it, and He can use it for good if we let Him. Number three. The third habit we learned about was eat the frog. This is one of my favorites. You know, it says if you want God to do the super, you have to do the natural. And what that is saying is, Mark Twain said, if you got to eat a live frog, it's best to do it first thing in the morning. And what he meant is you do the hard part first. I mean, whatever it is on your agenda for the day, do it first. That's eating the frog. So, the point I want to make is eating the frog, it can be an object, and I want to explain that. A life symbol can be a simple object. I'll have Allison go to the picture of the jar. This is a little jar on my nightstand. There's a date on it, August 24th, 2002. We bought the property August 14th. We closed on it that day, and then we had a meal in here before it was renovated. It was very rustic, wires hanging down. It was damp and cold, but it was great. We just bought the property, and we had this celebration meal. There's dirt inside this jar. And this has been on my nightstand for years, just sitting there. It's an object. But you know what it represents? It represents eating the frog. Because here's what happened. There were a group of people, and I'll have Allison go to the next slide, that ate the frog for 2 years. It's the picture, Allison, of the people. People, it's the workers who day after day, week after week, came in here. And that's a picture of the sanctuary. I think it's right over here before it got done. This is what, 2003. It was 21 degrees. But people ate the frog for 2 years to get this place changed. You see, you have things in your life. It can be an object that represents a defining moment of God doing something in your life. Hey, hang on to that. Be proud of it. Be thankful for it, because it's something you look back on and say, wow, God did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves, but we had a part to play in it. Read the verse with me in your notes. You are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all the tribes to put His name there for His dwelling. To that place you must go. Nancy was a part of that. There were many others. That's Ron Lynn and Marion Pierce, and that's Pastor Jack. That's like, if you want to know what they looked like 18 years ago, there you go. But here's the point. You can have an object, something in your home that represents a defining moment of eating the frog. It's something you accomplished, something you overcame. Listen, that's what God builds into people's lives if we allow Him to do that. Okay, habit number four. The fourth thing is fly the kite. And this is all about how you do anything is how you'll do everything. And so this could be even a new ministry. And I'll explain that. You know, when you look at defining moments, life symbols in your life, there may be something you became a part of that God just blessed, and it was an amazing experience. Read with me Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I've got two pictures of ministries that God has blessed. Here's the first one. In January of 2019, the ministry of release time was just dormant for about a year and a half. The previous church had given it up, and it was just sitting there. Nobody was doing anything for the elementary school kids for about a year and a half. And so we decided, there was a group of people that said, let's try and make something happen. XP3, which is the middle school, high school, Tammy was leading that. That was already going. But a group of people said, let's do it for the kids. And so this is just a picture in time And over time, it became 40 to 50 to 60 kids just in the elementary school. It's been on hold for over a year. But let me say this. When a group of people fly the kite, they do something that maybe they haven't done before or it's not happening. They go for it, and it could be a defining moment of ministry in their life. I think that's what happened with this 252, which that comes from Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And so this is just a picture of it. Here's a second picture. You know, the ministry of the young at heart, different people have done things through the years, but Pauline and others got together, and a lot of good things have just happened. You know what it was? Somebody flew the kite. They got excited about saying, let's do this together. And so this whole ministry has blossomed. It's taken off. And I heard somebody say, if you got everybody together at the same time, it's about 25 to 30 people. Is that right? That's amazing. But listen, it could be a ministry that you're a part of. It becomes a life symbol. And there's many others in the church, but it's all about flying your kite. And a kite string, as we learned a few weeks back, became a suspension bridge over the Niagara Gorge between America and Canada. But it started with a kite string. So when you think about your life, you undoubtedly have times and experiences where you've done something with a group of people and God just blessed it. It's a life symbol that you want to hang on to. Let's go to number five. Habit number five is cut the rope. Cut the rope. And this is when playing it safe is risky. But let me give you the definition of the life symbol. It's this. It can be a decision to let go of something in the past. When you cut the rope, you're willing to release or let go of something for something better. In our text, there's a great example of Elisha and Elijah. Elisha is the prophet, or Elijah is, and Elisha is going to receive the anointing. He's the younger guy. He'll be called. Read with me this text. So Elisha went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his attendant. I want you to grasp this. Elijah is the older prophet. Elisha is the younger guy. God calls Elisha. You know what he did? He was plowing with oxen. He was a farmer. And the call of God came into his life, and look what he did. He took his yoke of oxen, there were 12 of them, and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. He was serious about his calling. He let go of his former occupation and way of life in order to follow the call of God. And so he let go of something in his past so that he could lay hold of something in his future. It says, then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. There's times in life where we have to cut the rope. And I want to show you a symbol of cutting the rope. When the group of people back in 2002 and 2004, when we moved over here, this had been the church building for about 50 years, and people had been worshiping there a long time. And so this building meant a lot to people, but they had to cut the rope. It's the familiar, it's what's easy, it's what's comfortable, and God called to do something different, and so they had to let go of it. You see, in order to lay hold of something new, you usually have to let go of something in your past or something in your life. It can even be a good thing. in order to lay hold of something that is better. You may be here today and you've had times in your life where you've had to let go of something. It could be something bad, and that's what we all need to unload, habits, and maybe there's certain toxic people in life. I mean, there's a lot of categories, but it could be something good in order that you get or lay hold of something better in the future. God does that. You cut the rope. And so Elisha literally burned his oxen, he cooked them with his plowing equipment, and he gave the food to the people. So you and I have to be careful. We got to let times in life, we got to let go of stuff in order to go forward. I see that as a defining moment for the church family, because it was a time where they had to let go of or release something that was good for something better. All right, let's go to number six. The sixth one is wind the clock. And a time is measured in minutes. Life is measured in moments. And your life symbol could be a picture. Maybe it's a picture on your wall, a family gathering. Here's what this one means. We all have to be aware of where we are at on the life clock. That's the chronos time. It's like we have so much time in terms of minutes. But then life can also be measured in moments. We have to experience defining moments. And read with me the two verses in your notes. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Redeeming the time. Here's what it's saying. If you want to wind the clock, it's making the most of every opportunity. It's seizing the day. It's saying, I want to make it all count. It's an attitude. It's an approach to life. So I got a picture that is, to me, a life symbol of winding the clock. Here it is. Back in fall of 2019, there were 49 people that went on this trip to Israel and Jordan. And there were 24 people from this area that went. And when I look at this picture, it's a defining moment to me of winding the clock. Been on different missions trips, and they've all been great in their own way. But this one's probably at the top for me. You know why? I don't know. It was the group experience. And the picture represents a moment in time. It represents seizing the moment in which it was a special moment, a defining moment. You have pictures in your home of your family, get-togethers or an event, weddings, and it's a life symbol. And so you and I have to just continue to go after life symbols and say, what are they? What has really been the peak moments of my life? That's how we wind the clock. And then finally, the seventh one is seed the clouds. And that means we sow today what you want to see tomorrow. And a life symbol can be a vision of what you might have for tomorrow. It may be something you want to see happen in the future. And in Galatians, it says, a man reaps what he sows. In other words, we sow today what we want to see tomorrow in our lives. And I got three pictures I'm going to show you. Things that this church is working on that is a vision for tomorrow. Here's the first one. We're working on the pavilion, and right now we're waiting for Delaware Engineering and them to give us a stamped drawing, and Kevin's been working on that, so that's where we're at. There's progress being made, but we're on hold until they get back with us. See, that's a vision for tomorrow. Here's a second one. We've talked about the family center, and that's a vision for tomorrow, and it's something we're moving toward. But here's probably the most powerful one for the church family, the third picture. As a church, as an individual and as a church, just be a light unto the world. In other words, may God use us to be a blessing to the community, to let our light shine and show our good works before man. In other words, we just serve. We're here to help. We're here to make a difference. And we just want to be a light unto the world in terms of a big picture vision. And when God finds a group of people that has that as a life symbol, as a passion for helping others and leading people to Christ and being having good deeds and serving. Let me tell you, that's what God delights in. It's a vision for tomorrow. It's a life symbol. So seven simple things. It could be a spiritual experience. It could be a painful time in your life. It could be an object that's sitting on your dresser or your nightstand. It could be a new ministry, something you let go of. It could be a picture hanging on the wall. It could be a vision of tomorrow. Yesterday, I took some time and I tried to process how many life symbols would I come up with. And I didn't get them all, but I came up with 21. I looked back over my life and I wrote down dates, spiritual experiences. I wrote down things that happened to me, sometimes bad. And I had a list of 21. My challenge to you is this. After you leave here today, I want you to get out a pen and a piece of paper. I want you to make a list of your life symbols. I mean, what is it that has been a defining moment for you? Because God wants to build into our life life symbols, which are something that happened in the past. It gives meaning to the present and functions as a compass to the future. Kind of like David. He took Goliath's armor after that victory, and he put it in his tent. And every time he looked at it, it reminded him of how God helped him conquer Goliath. You have those things in your life. Make a list of them. Cherish them. Know what they are. Call them to remembrance, and your life will be enriched. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that every time you've done something in our life, it has the potential to be a life symbol going forward. I pray you'll help each of us here to understand what they are in our own lives. The simple things, but help us to list them out, to reflect on them, to give thanks for them, to learn from them. And Lord, we just want to give you honor and glory that you can take us, ordinary, everyday people, and make us a light unto the world. And we pray that you'll build life symbols into our lives going forward that will honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.